House Resources come to order. It's February 13th of 08. Present are Representatives Faircloth, Seaton, Gatto, Johnson, Kawasaki, and Roses. So we do have a quorum. We have a couple of bills before us today, HDR 31 and HB 348. Excuse me a second. Just by way of an announcement, Resources will not be meeting on Friday. I doubt if we could get a quorum.
I'll be here.
You will?
Mr. Chairman, should...
Should two people constitute a quorum, we'd be able to move forward.
If there's anything you need in Juneau over the next 4 days,
we have
my cell phone number with you, and I'd be happy to try to...
Okay. Does that include shoveling and salting and...
No.
Babysitting.
Had I known we were going to cancel, I would have made mine earlier. Oh, well. So be it.
So you have three. We can't get to five. I don't think so. Okay, so the sponsor is present, and first we'll take up HJR 31, Representative Keller. And his assistant, Mr. Pound. Representative Keller.
Thank you, Chair Gatto and committee for
and
hearing
for the
this bill.
Representative Guttenberg is also present. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just would like to make some brief statements on the bill. For years, outside groups have tried to manage Alaska's assets of fish and game. I think that's well known. Latest attack is coming from the halls of Congress with a bill introduced by the California representative, Congressman George Miller. He introduced H.R. 3663 this past September. While the bill language does not specify that it's directed at Alaska, the press release that we see is aimed specifically at us. HGR 31 simply says no. It is a no to federal legislation. It says that our biologists and board members know better than the politicians in Washington, and it asks the members of Congress to join our delegation and also say no. And I think you have a letter from Congressman Dong Young who has taken a stand on this. I would appreciate your support of HJR 31, and I'd be glad to answer your questions.
And we have a copy of 3663. Did we get one of those?
Mr. Gatto, Jim Pound, staff representative. Yes, sir, you do. It's in your packet.
I think it's the next page. I'm not sure we know everything about it, but it's Protect America's Wildlife Act of 2007, and the sponsor of that, probably somebody in an important state like Maine or Massachusetts or something. Do you know?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, it is George Miller, Congressman George Miller from California. It's the sponsor.
And he is the Committee on Resources, so he probably have some clout. It has a nickname. It's called the PAW Act.
Protecting America's Wildlife.
Right. And it's in Natural Resources. So, with that, if the committee has no comments, let me just go to public testimony. Mr. Arno, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Gatto. This is Rod Arno, and I'm representing the Alaska Outdoor Council, statewide organization of at least 10,000 Alaskans. And the Outdoor Council does support this resolution that I believe sending it back to Congress, knowing that the state legislature is also behind our congressional delegation in opposing this federal legislation is extremely important. There's only one amendment that the Outdoor Council found that would like to make, and that is on page 2, line 6, the whereas moose and caribou represent livestock to many Alaskans. I think I would refute that. I don't think that very many Alaskans consider their wild food harvest to be livestock. You know, the definition of livestock clearly is horse, cattle, sheep, and other useful animals kept or raised on a farm or a ranch.
Do you like the idea of food stock?
That would be just fine, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Rod, are you familiar with the federal legislation?
Representative Gatto, yes, I am.
Are you the best person? Because I'm going to ask somebody to defend it. And I know you're the opposite to defending it, but you might be able to tell us what's in it that gives us some authority and some willingness to act to oppose it. Basically, you know, whenever we get a simple title like that, the shorter the title, the worse the bill.
Yes, Representative Gatto. Yes, that Congressman Miller from California, joining in concert with the Defenders of Wildlife, who is the same national organization that's got the ballot measure again this summer to ban same-day airborne or aerial control of predators, has basically gotten behind the congressman and gone back to Washington, D.C. to see if they can go ahead and make changes to the federal Same-Day Airborne Hunting Act through this Protecting America's Wildlife Act of 2007 to stop Alaska's ability to do predator-prey management.
Thank you. It's the way I see it also. Thank you very much, Mr. Arno. Next, I want to go to, well, first of all, we have Kevin Saxby online. Kevin, are you there to speak or as a reference?
I'm here to testify, Mr. Chairman.
Please do it. Thank you.
Sure. But not on the resolution, Mr. Chairman. I'm here for HB 348.
Okay, we'll hold that then. Somehow I got that paper in with this paper. So then next we'll go to Doug Larson is here. Did you want to testify? Does not want to testify. Okay. And Robert Fithian is here. Robert, did you want to testify?
I'll speak shortly.
Thank you.
Chairman Gatto, members of the House Resources Committee. My name is Robert Fithian. I represent the Alaska Professional Hunters Association as their executive director. APHA supports this resolution. It's vital to the integrity of the fiber of Alaska's rural lifestyles, the guided hunting industry, and hunters in general. And I just wanted on the record that we're strongly in support of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. For brevity, hold fast right there, because Representative Wilson has a very tough question for you.
Are there very many people in your group that think that moose and caribou are livestock?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, no.
Okay.
And we concur with Mr. Arnold's proposed amendment.
And your suggestion, I thought about food stock. Is that satisfactory? I think we all get the message of what that means. Especially since it kind of sounds a little bit like livestock. Or is there a better term?
Chairman Gatto, I would refer respectfully to Kevin Saxby and ask him to recommend specific language to that effect. For me, I'm not sure food stock is the right word. I'm also thinking wildlife resources. So,
okay. And just... Okay, thank you very much. Any questions, Mr. Fithian?
No.
Representative Guttenberg?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you're with the Professional Hunters and Guides Organization?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Thank you. How many clients does your organization have in a year?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, could you repeat that, please?
How many clients does your group take out a year? Do you hunt guided hunts, or is there a number? Do you guys keep track? Or?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, we have 150 to 160 professional members. Those are individual guide service providers in Alaska, and I don't know the exact number of clients that we work with each year through that membership base. I do know that we represent in excess of a $200 million a year industry, a rural Alaskan industry, and a fair average in relation to the 150 professional members we have in our organization would probably be somewhere around 15 to 20 clients per member. So, if that helps you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. I'm going to go online to Jerry McCutcheon. Are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to Resources. Need a name and affiliation?
My name is Jerry McCutcheon, and I don't represent anybody but myself. I've watched Wolves and them for the other game for more years than most of you have been alive. I can remember when Don Sheldon used to come to town and complain to my brother, so he passed it on to Senator Greening about the damn feds poisoning the wolves, and then you'd wind up with a big circle of dead other kinds of animals around, and they lost the whole bunch. I can remember the last time during that period of time they had it in. It was the wolves 4-0. They wrecked 2 airplanes, killed 2 people, and hospitalized the other 2 people. So it's not an easy game. That was back in the days when Lowell Thomas used to hunt, Don Sheldon, Jay, a fellow by the name of Jay Hammond. So I support the basic premise. I haven't read it, but I support the premise of it. The feds really don't buy a bong there. They once upon a time poisoned the wolves. Why should they now want to protect them? I can't understand. The wolves ate themselves out of house and home in McKinley Park, began to eat each other, and migrated on the outside to in the state of Alaska's land. I don't see why we've got to feed them like the greenies think we do. I don't think that's necessary. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Hey. I'm just going to comment that if you're saying you've watched wolves for more years than we've been alive, I'll take you up on that.
But I don't know what your age is, but think about it.
Okay. Next and last, Scott Ogan, Sportsman's for Fish and Wildlife. Scott, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. First, I need to give a disclaimer. I'm here representing the Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife. In my real job, I'm a natural resource manager with the Department of Natural Resources, and I'm here on my own time, and my comments do not represent my agency or the state in any way, shape, or form. I'll be real brief. We support this initiative very strongly. The only thing that's regrettable is how underutilized the federal government Division of Wildlife Services are to actually do predator control in the state, just wanted to put that on the record and get this resolution moved out as soon as possible. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else online or present here that wishes to testify on HJR 31? Okay, seeing and hearing none, close public testimony, brings it back to the committee, and I'm going to offer an amendment, and that is amendment to page 2, line 6, striking the word livestock and substituting the word foodstock. And then I'm going to get an amendment to the amendment to substitute something for foodstock, and that would be Representative Fairclough's. But I want to let Representative Fairclough tell us what her amendment to the amendment is so that we know whether or not we want to strike your amendment. So, Representative Fairclough?
Mr. Chairman, I concurred with your evaluation that livestock and the food supply is more direct as to the issue. And so I proposed on page 2, line 6, to delete the word livestock and send it over for your consideration and insert a subsistence and urban food supply source.
Okay. She's going to have her say it again. And then we'll decide whether we want to accept the amendment to the amendment. But once again, it's a subsistence and urban food supply source.
Okay. Right. The point is, if I might speak to that proposed amendment, the food stock issue is that it's a food and a value to Alaskans in different ways. It's not just a hunting for the kill. It's to nourish families and feed and supply food.
So the original amendment was to strike livestock and substitute food stock. And now the amendment to the amendment is to strike food stock and substitute subsistence and...
I'll object for discussion. Okay. Would you read that one more time? A subsistence and...
Urban food supply source.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kawasaki, I think I saw him first, and then Representative Roses.
I'm just trying to figure out what does that cover everybody if you say subsistence and urban? I don't think it covers. Because if you live on if you live in Delta, that's a fairly urban area, but you might not be a subsistence user. I mean, am I correct in that?
You could be a rural user, but not a subsistence user. So we're trying to...
Just leave that up.
I sent it over to the chairman so he could look at it. I didn't think food stock got us to where we needed to go. Here, help the committee process.
Or we could say both subsistence and non-subsistence, then we get 100% coverage. Representative Roses was next, and then Representative Johnson.
I'm afraid we're trying to wordsmith an amendment here, but... instead of having an amendment to your amendment, if you're trying to do that, wouldn't it just be easier if you withdrew your amendment so we're only dealing with one?
No, because if we defeat the amendment to the amendment, then we default right back to the amendment, and we want to have some amendment.
Well, we will.
So if we accept the amendment, then we want to go back and strike it and make another amendment, so I wanted to just stack them. So now you're going to be making a choice of which one would be more productive as far as being able to describe in the bill that we want to cover all Alaskans. And if you want to cover them all, the easiest way, whatever word you pick, whether it's subsistence or hunting or whatever, is the second words are both hunting and non-hunting, both subsistence and non-subsistence, both tall people and not tall people. You really cover everybody. But if you pick out just two groups as subsistence and hunting, you're right, we've left some people out. So my guess is that Representative Fairclough, amendment to the amendment, tends not to cover everybody. Representative Fairclough.
A food supply source for all Alaskans.
That's what it would be, yeah. Represents, let me see. Whereas moose and caribou represent food stocks or a food supply source. Food supply source, all right with me. Do you want to withdraw your amendment to the amendment and substitute a new amendment to the amendment?
Well, certainly.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would certainly like the committee to entertain putting asset in there, an asset, a valuable asset, and food source or something along those lines, because I think that clearly defines what we believe it is. And if you look at the legislation coming up next, it would be consistent with what we're going to be looking at in the very near future.
has a bit in his mouth, and he's just tugging here because he knows something that we've discussed, and when you brought up asset, it just hit the trigger. Representative Seaton?
Yes, it does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to look at the underlying federal legislation. It doesn't just deal with predator control. It deals with all wildlife. And where we're specifying that moose and caribou, I mean, we are excluding sheep, we're excluding goat, we're excluding any of the other items that are a food, or rabbits or anything else that are important to Alaska. And this says that if you fly to one place, you can't rabbit hunt until 3 a.m. the next day, is what the underlying federal legislation says. So I'm concerned that we're getting narrowly defined in our request for the rejection of the federal legislation solely based on an idea of predator control for two species, and I don't believe that that is the full parameters under which we should be asking for a rejection of the federal legislation. So if you look on the federal legislation that's in the packet on HR 3663, number three is shoots or attempts to shoot. You know, you couldn't do this. Shoot or attempt to shoot any bird, fish, or animal before 3 a.m. the following day that a person has traveled by aircraft other than regularly scheduled commercial aircraft. And I think that that's an important piece that we're trying to have them not not influence the or restrict the ability of the Board of Game to determine under what circumstances those things might be necessary. We might have a subsistence emergency, and then part of our rural area, and have a special regulation for allowing flights to another section for taking some extra game animals, and this federal legislation could prevent that. So I mean, I hate to see us get too specific or trying to tie pieces of legislation together. I notice this does have the asset of game in the whereas on line four, so I think that's covered, and I would, you know, I hope that we'll keep this our objection broad enough that it covers the multitude of circumstances instead of restricting it too much to three. Thank you.
And if I can distill all that down, can you just suggest what you want to do with line six? Did you want to change line six, or do you say it's not a relevant issue because what we're trying to do is?
Mr. Chairman, I don't object to the broad idea of saying a food source for Alaskans. I think that that identifies that. I think, you know, we could actually have it moose, caribou, and other wildlife are a food source for Alaskans, or an important food source for Alaskans. And I believe that that gets us to our objection is for the federal government to come in and make that. I know I'm not offering the specific words, but I think that under the discussion of the amendment, that's my problem with, you know, trying to put asset or trying to restrict things too far. So I think that and we've got two amendments to amendments, so I can't offer the wording.
That's right.
but I would
no, but you could suggest what you think it ought
but
to sound
that's
like.
That's what I'm saying. The moose, you know, that I think that what we really are trying to get is that moose, caribou, and other wildlife represent an important food source for Alaskans. Mm-hmm. Is what I think that we really
good enough.
Would like, that's what I would like to see this paragraph say.
And everybody's jockeying around with some suggestions, and I had regular and dependable food source for Alaskans. So we're kind of really focusing quite a bit on.
Put yours down. I'll withdraw mine.
Okay. The amendment to the amendment is withdrawn. I'm going to withdraw the amendment, and now we're back to anyone wanting to make an amendment. Representative Roses.
I think I submitted mine to you in writing there. And
oh,
I
is this? This is. I would. This one.
Correct. I would move it, and I'll read what I have here. I think it's the same as I gave you there. On line page two, line six, it would state, whereas much of Alaska's wildlife represents a natural food source to many Alaskans. That way, we're not specifying moose, caribou, or other wildlife.
Oh,
we're just saying
food.
Some people eat porcupines.
It says food. I was thinking a natural good source to many Alaskans.
So whereas much of Alaska's wildlife represents a natural food source to many Alaskans.
Instead, and you want to get rid of moose and caribou.
Sure. And livestock.
And livestock, correct. Whereas much of Alaska's wildlife represents a natural food source. And then leave in to many Alaskans. Right. Representative Roses has offered an amendment, and the words are to strike moose and caribou represent livestock, and substitute whereas much of Alaska's wildlife represents a natural food source, and then we can leave too many Alaskans in place.
Correct.
Whereas much of Alaska's wildlife represents a natural food source.
Too many Alaskans.
There an objection to?
Objection.
There is an objection, Representative Wilson.
I'm just wondering if it would sound better if just the way it is, except instead of too many Alaskans, for many Alaskans.
Okay. Do you want to amend the amendment?
Just
okay. I will offer an amendment to the amendment and change the word two to four.
Is there an objection? Seeing and hearing none, the amendment now stands as whereas much of Alaska's wildlife represents a natural food source for, and the remainder of the sentence is many Alaskans. Is there an objection to the amendment? Representative Faircloth, no objection?
I withdraw my objection.
And okay. So seeing and hearing no objection, amendment number one is adopted. Anybody move amendment number one?
I did.
Okay. With that in place, we now have House Joint Resolution 31 before us. Are there more amendments? Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification, we had an amendment number one, and that was withdrawn.
So this amendment number two.
Number two, I believe.
Okay. Madam Clerk, I'm going to need you to fudge the...
amend the record.
This was, you know, amendment number one was withdrawn, and Representative Rose has offered amendment number two.
Yes, I can fudge the record by properly numbering that.
Thank you.
By doing it right.
That's translated to mean I cleaned up your mess.
Works for me. So, Representative Faircloth?
I'm not, Mr. Chairman, if I could have some latitude, I would like to have the committee consider some additional language and have the maker of the resolution comment on it. If I could offer.
Representative Keller.
One at a time.
We've amended your resolution by removing moose and caribou represent livestock. And, and most of us pretty much think that's a pretty good move, but I'd like to know your thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have no problem. It's just fine. Earlier I would have explained that the reason for the choice of the word livestock is that is part of the exemption in the Congressional Act. You know, it's directed at the lower 48, where they're exempted from using aerial or any means of killing predators. That's why the word was chosen, just for your information, if you didn't know that. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On what we've been doing, I know, in resolutions lately is adding the word electronically.
Yes. You know, good point. Excellent point.
Copies of this resolution shall be sent electronically to the blah, 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 blah. You know, and that's what we've been doing a lot of times. I don't know if that is something that we should be doing now, but I know that's what we have been doing to a lot of them.
Well, you're right on the money, because remember the bottom line says, and all other members of the 110th U.S. Congress. And it's a lot of postage and a lot of paper, and basically electronically works. Representative Roses?
I didn't want to speak to her amendment. I support it. I'm not objecting. So I had another.
Okay. Want to make amendment number three?
Yes, I will move amendment number three. And okay. On page 2, line 11, after the word sent, add the word electronically.
Is there an objection? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 3 is adopted. Representative Roses?
Just a point of clarification. I guess I misunderstood what Representative Faircloth said. I was under the impression that she had additional language that she wanted to offer to this resolution, and she was referring to the sponsor for comment on the language that I think she was going to offer, unless I misunderstood.
Representative Faircloth?
That is correct. I was wondering about beefing up the resolution, but I didn't want to do it without the concurrence of the maker. I'll read them to you. If they cause problems, we can just move on. But whereas airborne hunting is illegal in Alaska, and whereas Alaska...
Are these extra whereases or substituting? Yes. These are extra whereas? Okay, go ahead.
Whereas Alaska Predator Control Program is mandated by the state of the Alaska State Legislature and regulated by the Independent Alaska Board and Game. Whereas, as Alaskan wildlife management programs are conducted entirely within the tenets of the Airborne Hunting Act. Whereas, as predator management in specific areas of the state increases opportunities for Alaskans to put healthy food on the table. There are quite a few quotes right out of the governor's bill to the California representative. If the representative doesn't want to go there, that's fine. If it causes additional conflict for
through the chair, Representative Faircloth, I think it would have to be airborne hunting of game is illegal, because I think there is airborne hunting allowed in Alaska. But that's the only thing I heard on the fly.
Do you want to comment? Can I get you to come up? And once again, we got to get you on the record. Representative Keller, yeah, stay close. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Doug Larson, Director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation at Fish and Game. One of the things that repeatedly comes up is this airborne hunting. Predator control activities is not hunting, and we've over and over tried to make the distinction very clear that hunting and predator control are different. So the comment about aerial hunting not being in here is appropriate. It is appropriate that it is not hunting in Alaska for the control programs that we're talking about.
And your suggestions while you're there are to change some language or to delete some language?
Well, I didn't, frankly, Mr. Chair, get all the details of what was put forward there, and I wasn't jotting it down, but I didn't hear anything that sounded out of place relative to the information that the department's put out and that the governor sent in her letter to Representative Miller.
Okay. Mr. Larson, just stay right there. Representative Roses?
I just wanted to, for clarification, because there was a lot of stuff to listen to, but I thought the reference to aerial hunting was that it was illegal in the state of Alaska, and she was just stating that.
So. Good. Okay. Is there an objection to all of the comments Representative Faircloth added? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I just want to clarify and make sure that we are correct. My interpretation from what we just had was the Board of Game had not allowed same-day airborne on bear, but they could, and that's why we were putting bear in there, so that it's not that it's, was that then illegal? Or was it just not happening at current time, but the Board of Game has the ability to allow that?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, yes, the Board of Game could, if a proposal was brought forward, for example, to include bears for landing and shooting as a viable method under the hunting regulations, they could do that. The bill that you're referring to actually puts brown bears in as a species that the board would not be in a position to allow to take place under hunting regulations.
Go ahead.
And Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of words there. I just don't have them in front of me. I'm trying to figure out, was it airborne hunting or airborne?
Whereas airborne hunting is illegal in Alaska.
Okay. And because enough, I'm going to actually hold the bill when we're all done here, so we can look at the bill in printed form. But we ought to finish up anyway with whatever our comments are.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I had made an objection, I'll remove my objection since we're going to have to look at it in printed form. I appreciate that.
You bet. But. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make an amendment on page 2, line 3. where it says, except for the protection of wild, of livestock. And I'd like to add after that, or biological emergencies. And I'm adding that because the bill that we have before us, that's HR 3663, specifically has under section 3 the provision for biological emergencies. And so I think that that's, we want to make sure that we're not excluding what the federal legislation talks about.
Is that going to appear somewhere else in this where we want to make it conceptual?
I don't mind making it conceptual, Mr.
Because I'm looking at the word and biological emergencies.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Kawasaki?
To the amendment, you know, line 2 and 3 of page 2, I think is actually false. It looks false in the first place because I'm just reading off the section 3 of the act that's in the book. It says that the state may shoot wildlife, or I'm sorry, wolf, bear, and other predators from the aircraft. I mean, it doesn't prevent aerial predator control. I mean, it implicitly says that there will be aerial control as part of the state program. So I think that actually the whole whereas is wrong.
And you're finding that in
federal backup material.
Oh, in the backup.
Yeah. Okay. And I wouldn't. I guess I wouldn't have a problem amending it, but I just think that
I was wondering. Yeah,
it's false.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to point out. I noticed we're looking forward. If we look at the material that was the bill from Congress, that was HR 3663 on the second page of that bill under the
third number three
section 3, and if you look down there you can see that number 4, that whole section 4 says that you can shoot them from the air, but you have to have these conditions, and one of the conditions there is that it's a biological emergency.
There it is, right?
So that's, I think Representative Kawasaki and I are talking about the same thing, and we don't want to put in the resolution something that's only allowed for protection of livestock, because there's nothing in Section 4 that says this is for the protection of livestock. It says for a biological emergency.
Uh-huh.
And I think the sponsor might have some.
Yeah.
Questions on
that. I'm so curious about this when it says to prevent a biological emergency. It means once you have it, there's nothing you can do about it.
especially if you look at the definition. It's irreversible.
Yeah. Just let them go, huh?
Yeah, I mean, ask the question of the department.
Go ahead.
What would be our definition of a biological emergency? Would it mean an irreversible decline in a wildlife population caused by predator? Would we have the same definition?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, frankly, this is one of the clauses or phrases that causes us some concern, because when you're talking about an irreversible decline, we would argue that it's too late. We would like to take action, exactly. And that's why, again, referring back to the bill that you saw a while ago, we talked about active management. Well, when you see things happening, to the extent you have information and you see these dynamic things happening with populations, taking some sort of action under those circumstances makes sense. If you wait until there's an irreversible decline, in our minds, by definition, it's irreversible and
why
too bad, so sad.
And, yeah. And it ought to read reversible, and it ought not to refer to prevent. I mean, it's too late to prevent something. It's already here, and it's irreversible. Why bother? And that's in the federal language, though. Do we want to clear up our language to reflect those terms, irreversible decline, when we define biological emergency? And besides, biological emergency, in the feds, they're saying caused by a predator population. If they're counting a fungal infection, that's a predator population. If they're counting weather, it's not a predator population. So they're restricting it to, I mean, if we have a horrible decline, we really don't care what caused it. We just need to act on it. And they're limiting us to proving that it was, by the time we prove it, which, especially if it isn't true, the decline is over. We have a zero decline as we hit zero. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The existing intensive management law speaks to population objectives, harvest objectives, and the law is built on the premise that information will be obtained relative to populations, and that when those objectives are not being met, that the department will come back with information to suggest what we think is the cause of the, of that not being met. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that predators play into that, then we would take on predator management. Under this is a whole different paradigm with biological emergency, which is totally different from what the intensive management law lays out as it exists and what we, the department, would be expected to operate under.
Representative Seaton and then Representative Roses.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, I am not arguing that we change our laws to correspond with the federal laws. I am simply arguing that on page 2 of our resolution, we are making a statement that the legislation before Congress only allows aerial predator control except for the protection of livestock. And to me, clearly, Section 3 gives other reasons specific in the federal legislation that makes that statement false, because it says for these biological emergencies you can specifically do that. So I'm not arguing for that adoption of that at all. I just want to make sure that we're not
saying something about somebody else that just isn't true. And then they'll look at it and go, these guys don't know what they're talking about.
And if there is something in here that says, Mr. Chairman, that all of these provisions, you know, we've only got part of it here, all of these provisions only apply to the protection of livestock, that would be fine, but I don't see it in the materials we have, and that's where I'm going.
Just waiting for it. Did you have a comment?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Roses.
I guess my concern is that we're dealing with a resolution here, not a bill. And while I advocate for as much accuracy as we can possibly get, and I understand the importance of it, quite frankly, I'm also a realist. And most people are not going to read past the first two lines on the first page. And what's the resolution about? It's opposing the enactment of the protection, so on. And once they get this, somebody's going to have a little chit sheet over here, and we've got a resolution for Alaska opposing this. They're not going to get a look at all the fine details of what the whereases are. And some of us probably have questions as to how effective the resolutions are anyway, whether they even get read. It doesn't diminish the fact that we need to do it, and I support the concept that we have here, but I think we're sitting here for an hour wordsmithing something that the important part is the first two lines. And you've already said we're not going to pass the bill today. We're going to look at another version of it. So I think we're sort of getting a little nitpicky on where we're going here, and it's not going to change the end result that we're passing the resolution that opposes this particular bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Faircloth.
And on that note, I'm happy to withdraw my amendment so that it can go forward. I can offer it in a different committee. I don't want to hold the bill that someone's trying to move through. We have 90 days, and a CS for a resolution is.
Well, I might see it a little differently. I don't think the congressmen read them, for sure not, but they have aides that sometimes read them, and if they walk up to their congressman and go, we got another Alaska complaint again, and look over here at page 2 where they're saying things that don't make any sense, not only don't make any sense, aren't even true. That's Alaska for you, which then takes away from the next thing we ask them to do. So if we're going to put the state seal on this thing and send it out and get people to agree that this is what we want to send, don't send anything. If indeed they're not going to read it, I don't care. Withdraw the bill, not just move it on. But Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, if it is a problem for the amendment to put in this condition, which is what's in the bill, we could alternatively just take out except for protection of wildlife, and then we have then the whereas at least is, it is correct, and I don't think it gets rid of any problems. If we ask the sponsor, if the sponsor would be agreeable to removing except for the protection of livestock, I would with, and am I see, and I'm seeing agreement from the sponsor. So I would withdraw my amendment, Mr. Chairman, and like to offer a new amendment. Are we on five or six, or I guess?
Four. Now, when you say withdraw your amendment, there was another suggestion for adding biological emergencies.
That was my amendment.
That was yours also, and it wasn't really amended, am I correct, for biological emergencies?
I offered that amendment, and it hadn't been adopted yet.
Okay.
So I would withdraw that amendment.
Withdraw that one, and?
And I, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer the amendment that on line three, cut out the words, except for the protection of livestock.
And that would be amendment number four. We have amendment number four before us to remove on page two, line three, except for the protection of livestock. Is there an objection? And I'll give you a moment because we have some language just before it, prevent aerial predator control, that was also challenged. Following this? Say we don't want to do legislation on the floor. This is the place to do it. Okay. Is there an objection to Representative Seaton's amendment number four, removing except for the protection of livestock? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number four is adopted. Back to the committee. Is there now Representative Faircloth? You suggested something, but it never was offered as an amendment. Am I correct? Was the governor's language?
I'm not going to offer it.
Thought we had already adopted it.
Did we already adopt it? Was that number three?
No.
I don't think we adopted it. No.
I asked for.
There was no objection. There was no objection.
Did we give it a number?
Three.
Three.
You don't have it in the record. I don't recall her saying I move this an amendment. She said without objection from the sponsor of the bill, I would like to consider some following language, but she never moved as an amendment, and no one objected to because
right.
There was no motion.
And then later on you said, well,
she said,
I'll withdraw it.
I'll just pull it.
So we never considered that language.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Faircloth?
Thank you, sir. I gave the amendment proposed to the sponsor of the bill. I do not want it. It is four whereases that need to be fit appropriately if you would like it into the bill. I don't want to slow down a bill. I do agree with Representative Gatto and with Representative Seaton that we do need to be as accurate as we can, but it is his resolution that he's bringing forward. He needs to make it his own, and I don't want to insert. I just was reading the governor's bill, and it felt like she had some very strong statements in there that could supplement the resolution, and if he wants to do that, then I'll leave that to him. It meant more to me with those added, but I think that it's fine on its own.
And I'll give you this. This won't be heard again until next Wednesday. Am I correct? Or we?
Yeah, that's.
We have tech sessions on Friday and Monday, and that's today's Wednesday, and it brings us back in this room in a week.
Mr. Chairman, and just for the record, that is part of the, you know, we're spinning a little bit. That is why I'm not offering it as a formal amendment. And I'm not criticizing a 90-day session, but there is urgency in if there are real things that have to happen for Alaskans that we don't hang on to things. And we have a weekend coming up, and most representatives have been working straight through since the 15th, not seeing their families or anything. And we have President's Day coming up that is allowing some members to be able to leave this body, rightfully so, to visit people at home that they haven't seen in a month. And the chair is accurate that if we try to hold the bill for a CS until next week, that we delay we're a third of the way through our session. So I just put that on the record that, you know, I am not offering that amendment because I don't want to slow down the process.
Representative Keller, what's the next committee of referral? Or should I say Mr. Pound?
It's there is no further. It goes to,
it goes to the floor, yes. Right from here?
Yes.
Well, then we have to get it right. Representative Wilson?
You know, I think we've made our amendments, and I think that can't the chair, with the amendments that are made, go ahead and have it drafted with those amendments and send it onto the floor so that it can be go ahead and be moved?
We could thought of that. I think we got a little complicated. I had some noddings, yes, some noddings, no. And I think we have some uneasiness about, I want to reread it with the amendments in there. So that's why I wanted to hold it. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We could pass this and hang on to it and not transmit it to the floor until it was right. And if we needed to bring it back up because of some errors, we could certainly do that. But I would like to see this move out of committee.
Well, I'm going to pull rank here and hold it until next Wednesday.
I would, Mr. Chair, respectfully, I would like to respond to Representative Fairclough's question about what I thought about it. And the intent, you're all familiar with what resolutions do, and the intent is not to be specific and to analyze the federal act. The intent was simply to say we're managing our own. So I'd be very happy to not include extra language to. You know, the way as I'm following the process here, I think it is accurate now as amended as you have done. Certainly that's your choice, and I respectfully submit to
it. We'll see you next Wednesday. Let's go to the next bill. And we hope that doesn't get held over, but that's a sponsor substitute for House Bill 348.
Don't go anywhere.
Need a motion to move this, Mr. Chairman?
So, Mr. Chairman, procedurally, since the sponsor substitute was read across the floor, it's before us as a sponsor substitute, automatically replacing the original. Is that correct?
You know, I don't know. I would have to.
That's what was read across the floor.
I believe it is.
The sponsor substitute was read across the floor. If that's true, then we can just take it up. If it's not, then we have something different, and we need to adopt something different.
Well, we can cover the bases just by adopting.
Certainly cover them. Somebody want to move to adopt SSHB 348?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt sponsor substitute for House Bill number 348. Which is identified as 25LS13280 as our working document.
Is there an objection? Seeing and hearing none, we have before us 348. Representative Keller.
Thank you again, Chairman Gatto and the committee. It's a delightful committee as far as the responsibilities, or seriously, the responsibilities of the committee are just great, and because of the things that we're considering are so important to all of us as Alaskans. Wildlife managers continue to protect our assets. We have trained professionals that consult with the board, game board members and the public to ensure an abundance of this resource. For more than 10 years now, we've been having repeated outside attacks on Alaska's knowledge. These attacks are nothing more than money schemes, money-raising schemes many times. They have nothing to do with science. I have a friend that works for a large firm. He calls it the largest public relations firm, I think, in Alaska. It's called Clausen, Clausen Goddard. And I picked his brain about what their firm does. And they go out and they look for hot issues, and then they when they find one that they think they can raise money on, they go out and offer their services for a percentage of the whatever they can raise on the particular issue. And that's I point this out simply because the attacks that we get from outside are not just a nuisance. I mean, for us, with our limited population, there's a danger of to our good policy that we have here and our expertise that we do have.
the lower 48 needs to get the message that we in Alaska understand wildlife management and that we're doing a good job. It generates, obviously, our wildlife generates income for Alaska, wildlife viewing, hunting, guides, and hunting, hunters. It's a valuable asset. I remember, if you'll allow me just a little bit here, I was reflecting as I was working on the bill. I came up here in 1963 with my parents, 17 years old. It was a family game coming up the highway, how many moose we'd see, you know. We kept a tally. And I happen to remember, it was a long time ago, but I happen to remember it was 44, you know. And as a 17-year-old, that made a huge impression on me. It's part of who I am, you know. That's why I stayed, part of the reason I stayed. I mean, it's just a great place. And I'm not telling you anything. I know that's why I started the way I did. It's a great committee dealing with things we love as Alaskans.
Take the same trip this weekend. And
yeah, you know, no comment there.
Count is...
The language in this bill sends a message that by codifying the Alaska Supreme Court language and using it, calling game an asset, I believe it clarifies that the regulations of the Board of Game that adjust the methods, means, seasons, bag limits are all allocative in nature. Will it require more work on the Board of Game if this bill passes? It may, but that's good management. I don't think it's any shock to the Board of Game. I think that this is the way they're already approaching it, but it just clarifies. It brings the Alaska constitutional language into statute by adding the term preferential as far as our use. The use of the Supreme Court language and the constitutional language in statute, I believe, provides a rich context for clarifying the intent of the Alaska Board of Game. It follows up with statutory language, the resolution. That's why they kind of go together here, obviously. That we are respectfully reacting negatively to on Congressman Miller's bill. So I would just request, it's just a few words in the, I'm sure you've all read it. And,
Mr. Saxby?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, thank you for being there. The words Constitution came up and statute came up, and I believe it was the same sentence. And so do you feel like you can adequately address constitutional questions about a statute?
Well, it depends on the question, Mr. Chairman, but I'll do my best.
Thank you. And Mr. Hansen, you're still here, so we may have some questions on this. Committee have some questions they want to make before we go to public testimony? Thank you. Rod Arno, and I believe you've been hanging on, so you can also address this question. Mr. Arno, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you again, Mr. Chairman and committee, for the opportunity to testify. Again, Rod Arno, and testifying for the Alaska Outdoor Council. And the Outdoor Council supports this bill wholeheartedly, that clearly this seemingly small little change of adding asset of game to the current Title 16 would really be a value, I think, to all Alaskans who do use that wild food source of wild game. So the Outdoor Council does support it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Arno. And then ex-representative, ex-senator Scott Ogan. Oh, I'm sorry. Question?
Yeah.
We have a question for you, Mr. Arno. Can you hang on a second?
Yes.
Thank you. Representative Guttenberg?
Why would the change of language be so important?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, what I think it would do, and I see it clearly in the discussions that we've had this last year with the Division of Habitat, that we have clear parameters dealing with fish habitat and fish streams when it comes to their protection, but there's very little for uplands. So an example would be an open pit mine then in uplands where, say, the Nelchina caribou herd that has a high value, that if we could quantify that value as an asset to those 7,000 Alaskans who apply for that permit annually, that I feel would help our community and the law to go ahead and say, in considering that kind of permitting, to consider the value of that resource. Thank you.
Well, I'm just trying
Representative Guttenberg has a response.
Well, no, I'll just continue asking the question. I'm trying to figure out why calling them an asset changes their function and how they deal with game. So I'll just continue asking that question. Thank you.
Mr. Arno?
Yes, my only reply there, first off, I'm a hunting guide, not a lawyer. But what I've been told is that by being an asset, then that there could be, you could then, through litigation, then sue for civil damages.
You mentioned Title 16 very early in your testimony. Could you just tell me, put on the record what that is?
Okay, yes, Chairman Gatto. I have to think back what I was referring to, but probably the Fish and Game Code.
Okay, well,
Title 16, and specifically, I don't even remember what context I used it in.
I'll ask a couple people that we have either here or online, and I'm sure they can get us to it. I want to make sure that what we deal with here is legal for us to do.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Edgman.
Along those lines, and I think I missed my opportunity, but it would be interesting to hear from the Department of Law how this merges with the House Bill 256, the intensive game bill, in terms of us harvestable surplus and higher levels of human consumption, and just those terms. I think I can hazard a guess, but it would be, I think, beneficial for us to hear the department's interpretation.
Okay. Mr. Saxby, hope you heard all of that. They're asking you long, hard, and involved questions.
Chairman, do you want me to give the Department of Law's testimony at this time, or do you want me to just try to answer the questions?
Oh, boy. You know, there's no reason for me to separate them. First of all, what is Title 16?
Title 16 is the Fish and Game Code.
Thank you. With that out of the way, you're familiar with House Bill 256?
Yeah, I mostly drafted it.
Mostly drafted it?
Yeah, and for the record, my name's Kevin Saxby, and I'm the Senior Assistant Attorney General that's assigned to game issues.
Okay, now we're going to get to legal stuff. And I need your legal hat for some of these things, but am I overboard in having a concern about using the word asset? It sounds to me a constitutional issue, and we're using a statute to address it. Am I on track or off track?
I think you're on track, Mr. Chairman, and the gist of my testimony when I give it will be that I think we're maybe using the wrong statute to address it.
Okay. If there's no comment here, I'm going to go right to give us your testimony. I'm anxious to hear it.
I'll begin with a disclaimer, and that is that my personal view is probably very closely aligned with that of the sponsor, Mr. Chairman, but I'm charged with giving the most objective legal analysis I can here, and that's what I'll be doing. The written testimony of the Department of Law is the second page of the fiscal note that the Department of Law submitted.
Hey, just hold on one sec. Page 1 of 2, and there is your analysis continued on page 2.
That's what I'm about to say, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I've got my highlighter in my hand, so go ahead.
Thank you. This bill was written for the purpose of emphasizing in statute the allocative nature of many game regulation decisions so that those decisions would not be subjected to the whims of political change through the initiative process. Unfortunately, the way the bill is worded, it could easily be interpreted, and I actually think it will be interpreted, as serving primarily to limit the Board of Games' ability to exercise many of its most important powers to only those situations in which the regulations are being done, quote, as a means to allocate the asset of game, unquote. Because of this danger, the Board would be forced to build a record for every regulation during its meetings, which illustrates how the Board is allocating game through that regulation. This would likely add several days to each major board meeting with resulting costs and to more legal arguments and challenges regarding whether and how the board is allocating. also with resulting costs. And perhaps I can illustrate it this way. The underlying purpose of the bill is to affect what the public can or cannot do vis-a-vis the initiative process. But what the bill actually does is say what the board of game can or cannot do. And it effectively limits many of the board's most important powers to only those situations where the board is able to show that it is in fact allocating game. And that raises a real potential conflict with the board's enabling statute, AS 1605-221B, which says for purposes of the conservation and development of the game resources of the state, there is created a board. So the board is created for the purpose of not just developing, allocating, but also for adopting regulations that are related to a conservation rationale. So that's the effect that we see with the current language in the bill.
I'm going to pause and digest that. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Saxby, how do we accomplish the goal without handcuffing the Board of Game?
Co-Chair Johnson, the more direct route would be to directly say what the public can or cannot do, rather than to say what the board can or cannot do. If you want me on the fly here to come up with a specific suggested amendment, I'll have to confess I'm not able to do that right now. But I'd be happy to, if the committee so desires, I sure would be happy to approach the governor's office and the commissioner of Fish and Game and see if they want to task me with that job.
Mr. Chairman, I can't speak for the committee, but I'd certainly, as a representative, challenge you to do that and see what you can come up with. And I don't see anyone shaking their head terribly no, so.
Well,
or maybe I do.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for Department of Law. The term asset, it's referenced in the finance section of the index of the statutes, and I'm just curious to know a little bit about if game is considered an asset, does that mean it can be sold and traded?
Well, what the purpose, as I understand it, the purpose of the sponsors in using the term asset here is to come in within some of the language that the Alaska Supreme Court has already issued, especially in the Pullen versus Ulmer case. There was an initiative that would have allocated up to 5%, directly allocated up to 5% of escapement, essentially harvestable surplus, of salmon to sport and personal use fishing. And the Supreme Court said that under the constitutional language governing initiatives, that was an improper subject for the initiative process. It was not allowed to go to the ballot, to proceed to the ballot, because that was a direct allocation of a state asset. Fish were, in fact, an asset. I think we could deduce from that game, likewise, are an asset. So certainly in some circumstances, an attempt to allocate game through the initiative process would run afoul of that Supreme Court case. And as I understand it, this bill is an attempt to create that situation generally.
Follow up? Got it. Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd just like to draw everybody's attention to the February 5th legal opinion we have from Ledge Legal. And that was addressing some of the same question, just so there's not a dispute between lawyers. If you see the second of the last paragraph, really, it says the main effect of these changes could be that the Board of Game is limited and the reasons for which it can adopt the regulations under 1605-255A2A3 and A4. Under the added language, it is possible that, quote, to allocate the asset of game, unquote, would be the only reason the board could have for adopting regulations to carry out the provisions of, you know, basically fish and game regulations or the fish and game code. So, you know, I think that our legal attorneys have identified the same problem that the attorney general has adopted in this case as far as the way this would work in limiting the board game and their conducting the duties to which they've been assigned under the Constitution.
Thank you. Representative Guttenberg?
Well, a few questions. One of them is, and this is to Mr. Saxby. On a follow-up on Representative Kawasaki's question is, if you're making him an asset and, you know, I mean, fish, because the fish are called an asset, fish are sold and bartered and other things, what happens to our game management laws as far as the domino effect if we do this on all of those things? And the second question is, and I know we give it, obviously, because we've talked about it right here, we give the Board of Fish the ability to allocate. But what happens to the legislature's ability on fiscal matters? Are we turning our responsibilities over to the Board of Game? Isn't there separation of powers issues there?
Mr. Saxby?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'll answer the second question first. There's a difference between money and an asset, and I think that we've probably got enough discussion in the Pullen case to be able to draw that distinction. So I don't think we'd run afoul of the separation of powers issues with the legislature's control over the money for two reasons, actually. First of all, assets don't necessarily just include money. They include, you know, state property, state computers, all kinds of things are assets of the state. But second, the legislature has the Constitution gives the legislature the authority in Article 8 to regulate our natural resources, and the legislature has delegated that on to, in this case, the Board of Game. The board operates under the legislature's guidelines and directives, and, you know, just as a general principle of administrative law, it can't exceed those. So, again, there's not really a separation of powers issue. The first question, I think, was about the domino effect, and I guess that's what I'm saying, and it sounds like your legislative counsel is saying, is that there is a potential domino effect that we want you to at least be aware of if it goes through as worded.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another portion of the issue comes to, and you have before, the committee has before it, the legal opinion of February 11th, 2008. And, you know, this is asking the question, you know, it's following up on another memo, would the sponsor substitute for HB 348 prohibit a citizens initiative that restrict predator control programs by restricting greatly or prohibiting outright same-day or airborne shooting of wolves? And, you know, our legal says, you know, I do not think the additions to AS 1605 255A by the bill will necessarily prohibit a citizens initiative regarding the predator control or same-day airborne shooting of wolves. As stated in the February 8th memo to my office, the court will examine the provisions of the state constitution without being required to look at any statutory sections that might relate to those constitutional provisions. And, you know, the court will look at the constitutional provisions in question and make its own determination based on that provision alone. So, although I understand what the effort is here, I think, you know, legal is telling us that, you know, it's not going to work, or they're perceiving that it's not going to accomplish the goal. And the way, at least the way this is worded through the bill, it has severe consequences or potential consequences to the operation of the board again.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. To address Representative Seaton's legal memo, and I hate to be battling memo, but we asked the question a little bit differently. And you should have the February 13th memo from Brian Kane, the same person. We asked, how does the court's view of the allocation of an asset factor into the prohibition of citizens' initiative into relation to the appropriation? And Mr. Saxby talked about the Pullen case, which is in here, and I think it which is what I think really the crux of this piece of legislation is about, is that it will, at the end of the day, make it a lot harder to get a ballot initiative through dealing with game management. And it's the crux of it comes down to the last paragraph on the second page. Based on the court ruling in Pullian, the court would likely consider that an allocation of what it considers a state asset could not be allowed as an appropriation in a voter initiative. So unless we want to get a third one in, but this is 2 out of 3 or
5 out of 7.
Representative Seaton.
And Mr. Chairman, I think that we need to look carefully at the distinctions between Pullian and Ulmer and what we're talking about here. What we are talking about in Pullian and Ulmer is an allocation between citizens of the state or groups of the state of an asset. What we're talking about here is trying to prevent an initiative that says you can't have predator control, which is not an allocation between different groups of citizens of the state. And so I think that, you know, we need to make sure that what we do actually accomplishes our goal. And it's a confusing issue, I grant.
A question from Mr. Saxby.
Representative Roses, Representative Guttenberg.
Mr. Saxby, are you still there? When I asked Mr. Arno about the word asset, he mentioned that the ability to sue for damages. Do you have an understanding of what he was talking about?
I'd be guessing, Mr. Representative Guttenberg.
Okay. Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to take a little broader look at that than just the aerial wolf hunting. I think that when we start trying to make biological decisions at the ballot box, that this is much broader than aerial wolf hunting. And I would hate to see us focus on this as being, if I thought this was a piece of legislation intended to stop a particular initiative, I would have trouble with it. But what I see this is, it is an attempt for us to use our professionals to manage our game, and not the emotional outcry of outside groups, regardless if it's aerial wolf hunting, if it's fishing, if it's fur trapping, whatever it may be. So I would like to look at this, and hope we would all look at this, as a broader approach. Now, one of the consequences may in fact be the wolf hunting initiative, but I'd hate to see us get wrapped around that issue when what we're really talking about is not managing game and biology at the ballot box.
Fair enough. Anyone else? Let me go to public testimony. Or I think
that we were.
Well, I remember closing it with something.
Yeah, there's those guys out there.
Did we, Scott Ogan, did you comment on this bill?
No, Mr. Chairman, I haven't.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Ogan. I'm the president of the Sportsmen for Fish and Wildlife. Again, I'd like to disclaim for the record that I'm here on my own time. My real job is a natural resource manager for Department of Natural Resources. Has nothing to do and anything to do with positions of the state or my position with the state. Sportsmen for Fish and Wildlife was founded with one main objective, and that is to enable the Department of Fish and Game in the state of Alaska to manage for abundance. And we've had a tremendous, it was based on a model in Utah that had tremendous success in turning around the game numbers in Utah that most of you or some of you have been briefed on. What this bill does not do is change in any way the existing laws on initiatives.
What the bill will do is return control of Alaska's game management to the preferential use of Alaskans, by Alaskans, for Alaskans, without outside special interest influence, exactly as prescribed in our Constitution. Fish and Game Department will be allowed to manage game as an asset, rather than managing people by unnecessarily limiting or cutting off seasons and bag limits. We give presentations all over the state. I ask the question at virtually every meeting, how many people think that Department of Fish and Game manages people rather than animals? And 90% of the people in our audience has raised their hand. The Department of Fish and Game can establish scientific rather than political goals for predator-prey relations to manage for maximum sustained yield as prescribed in the Constitution. In Utah, they had 3,500 cougars, and the loss of the mortality of young ungulates was just absolutely extremely high. They decided that what their predator-prey relationship would be. They knocked them back to 1,750, and the wildlife has literally flourished. And Utah doesn't. They've taken a different approach. They've amended their constitution to require a two-thirds vote to pass the wildlife initiatives. Most of the animal rights groups left the state because they couldn't get any pass, and unfortunately, most of them moved up here. This is backed by subsistence hunters, native organizations, sportsmen, and guides under the principle of managing for abundance, thus reducing conflicts over uses. Those of you that remember my tenure in the legislature remember that I spent a lot of time opposing a priority given to one group of people based on where they live over another over fish and game. And I would propose to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we have been divided and conquered long enough. And that if we reunite as Alaskans, both urban and rural, and hold hands as brethren and say, look, we might be family, and we're obviously a big dysfunctional family, and we're going to seriously disagree from time to time over various issues, but we're going to stand together as Alaskans, and we're going to stand against all the big outside interest money that comes to the state and tries to run our state through the initiative process. I think it would be the most profound thing to happen to the wildlife management since statehood. And one of the members of our board is the executive director of Alaska Village Initiatives. And I'll be honest with you, you know, it took a little bit of consternation to get over the fact that he was sitting on a board with me. And we put those issues aside. And they authorized me to say on the record today that they're very supportive of the concept. We're still working on, they're still looking at the language, but as a an organization, they're very supportive of the concept. And I would say that's a historic moment in Alaska for those of us that have been on opposite sides of an issue for quite some time are coming together and saying, you know what, we're all big family here and we'll have our family fights, but we'll have them amongst ourselves and we want the outside influence out. So my bottom line here, I guess, would be that I think this is a historic moment for Alaskans, and I think this is something we can agree on and move forward on, and we'll have our differences. I certainly don't agree with a lot of what the game board and the fish board does, but what this does, the Alaska Supreme Court has spoken that fish is an asset of the state, and is not, in the Poland case, it is not subject to an initiative. And this bill just intends to bring game up to the same level of recognition as fish. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thanks, Mr. Ogan. With that, I'll close public testimony. Anyone on the committee want to make a comment? Representative Fairclough, we're about to, I've just closed public testimony. Did you want to make a comment no one else has?
No, I do. I'm not coming. I have a question for Department of Law.
Go ahead.
I had asked earlier, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Edgman, go ahead. Sorry.
I had asked earlier about the interrelationship between House Bill 256 and this piece of legislation. And certainly, if the initiative that's on the ballot this fall passes, It would further add to the picture, but it'd be interesting to hear maybe Mr. Saxby attempt to try to respond to that. I'm trying to get a handle on sort of the bigger picture and how all these pieces fit together. I think I know how they fit together, but it'd be interesting. And we could maybe put the initiative aside for the moment just for to make this simple. But if 256 and 348 pass, what's the net effect?
Mr. Saxby is suggesting that we'll get 256 and 348 out of here and then face an initiative in the fall. What would happen?
All three of those things. The next Board of Game meeting will be very interesting, Mr. Chairman. If 256 passes, first of all, I guess I think that the underlying motive of both 348 and 256 are similar. In each case, the underlying goal is to produce a result that manages for abundance and thereby reduce a lot of the conflict. 256 was an effort to take the current laws we have, simplify them, clarify them, make them as workable as we possibly can. 348 is, in my view, an attempt to ensure that game are treated as assets, and the regulation of game is viewed as allocation of assets that I am not sure will be successful, and that I am fairly certain will result in more legal challenges and a lot more time having to be spent by the Board of Game, and will eventually serve to limit the board's powers rather than make its decisions more defensible. And then if the initiative passes on top of those things, what we will be faced with is we will have a simplified version of the intensive management law that is, in our view, much more workable than the current situation. We'll be back to a very unworkable version of the same-day airborne law that the legislature has had to, each time it's appeared before the citizens, the legislature has had to act to simplify and to make workable. And in 256, we've suggested ways to make it even more workable. So what we'll be faced with is a mandate to conduct active management for important game populations, which will translate into, in some instances, a mandate to kill wolves. And we will have another law that makes it extremely difficult to kill wolves if the initiative passes. Am I answering your question?
Clear as mud.
With about three more questions, I'm sure. Representative Edgeman?
No, I think you did a really good job of responding to my question. I guess just like everybody else, mm-hmm. if all, let's just say 256 and the initiative do become law or approved by the voters, we're going to have a little bit of a mess on our hands. I'll just conclude by saying that.
That'd be fair. Representative Seaton?
Thank you. And I was wondering if Mr. Saxby could explain to us a little bit. There was a comment made that if this was a reclassification in 348 of an asset, then there was a way to use that to, I don't know if it was directly stated, stop the pebble mine, but stop mining in areas of Alaska. Can you relate to me exactly how classifying game as an asset would preclude mining operations in Alaska?
Through the chair, I can address that a little bit. First of all, I want to make clear that I think the law is right now, regardless of what you do, that game is an asset of the state of Alaska. Game is an asset, just like fish is an asset. The dispute is over whether a given initiative is actually allocating an asset. In Pullen versus Ulmer, the court held that in that case, the initiative was a direct allocation of a state asset. And that will be the test that the court will be looking at in the future, regardless of whether this language passes or whether this language doesn't pass, should people choose to make that argument. Is the initiative in question an allocation of a state asset? I think there's no dispute but that game itself is an asset. So I wanted to make sure we had the right foundation before we went on. Your next question, or the second half of your question, was about how might that affect mining and other resource uses in the state. And I think the desire of some of the groups out there is to see more recognition of game as an important asset in the calculation when best interests of the state are being weighed. You undoubtedly know that the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources needs to make a best interest finding for most major activities that involve development of state resources. And so I think what people are thinking here is that if we have explicit legislative recognition of game as an asset, maybe that'll carry a little bit more weight in some cases when these best interest findings are being made. Am I answering your question?
Follow up.
So I guess I'm trying to figure out is that strictly in the agency finding or in the agency process balancing a best interest finding, or is that in the is that trying to set up a legal challenge, or would that promote a legal challenge to the utilization of mining as an asset versus the statutory designation of game as an asset? Is that the probable outcome that we're looking at?
I'm not sure I'm fully getting the question, but maybe I'll try. I guess having defended the state against challenges by various environmental groups for quite a number of decades now, I guess I'd say that any hook that an opponent of a particular project has will be used. We've got major groups out there that are dedicated to, in many cases, to reducing or halting timber or mining or whatever. And if there is an argument that can be made based on legislative language that seems to add weight to your side of the things, it certainly will be used at some point. So is that where you were getting at?
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I thought I heard in the testimony, but I wasn't sure. It was kind of, but I thank you for the clarification. Thank you, Chairman.
Anyone else?
Well, based on the
Representative Edgeman.
Thank you.
Just so we get on the record right.
Based on the esteemed comments from the member from Homer, I move House Bill 348.
Why is there a universal laugh here?
I didn't hear an objection.
I'll object.
Are you serious? Because it's my intent to hold the bill. I think there is so much to do over this that what I want is the bill sponsor to work with Mr. Saxby and to work with whomever you can to come back with something that doesn't give us pause about treading on the Constitution and making for the future a very difficult situation for law, for game, for aerial hunting, and for so many things, because sometimes doing something instead of nothing just makes things even worse than they were before. And I know what our intents are, but if we don't use the right language and make sure we don't violate constitutional issues, we don't move ahead. So with that, I'm holding, sorry, Representative, but that's two bills, but we'll be holding. We got a whole week here to deal with both. And if bill number one, as has been suggested, you know, get it out, it'll be fine, it's already amended. If it comes back and all the amendments look just fine, we'll have it in here for just moments. But as I suspect, we'll look at it again and say, let me make one more change or one more change. And then we'll get back to this one if you're here and you haven't resolved this issue. Representative Guttenberg?
A question for the sponsor. On the resolution, what's the congressional timeline? Are they acting on the congressional bill? Do you need this out by a certain time? Or, I mean, I know Congress has its own, you know, they could be out of session in, you know, December. But, I mean, do you have any idea what the timeline is for the resolution?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, I have no clue.
Okay.
And Jim Pound. Well, Jim Guttenberg. All I know is Congressman Young would like to have as soon as possible.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. Was there an answer? I was distracted here. Was there a question and an answer or neither?
I think we're done. Yeah. Okay. If I might.
Go ahead. You can make comments.
Guide Association of Professional Hunters.
Mr. Fithian? I'm going to allow it. Okay,
Thank you.
Mr. Fithian, there was an error on sign-in sheets, and you intended to testify and didn't have a chance, so I'm going to reopen public testimony for just you since you are here, and you don't live locally. Copper Center, is it? Come on up and give your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman Gatto, for the special consideration. I appreciate it. Chairman Gatto, members of the House Resources Committee, my name is Robert Fithian. I represent the Alaska Professional Hunters Association as their executive director, and I actually live in Lower Tonzina, Alaska. Copper Center is our closest post office. Okay. APHA supports SSHB 348. The short and long-term positive benefit for Alaska represented by this legislation will do more to protect, conserve Alaska's wildlife resources, bridge our urban-rural divide, and create sound and sustainable economy throughout rural Alaska than any piece of law regarding management of our wildlife since our state constitution was ratified. APHA would like to state for the record that if it's ever documented the summary of our stewardship failure regarding Alaska's precious wildlife due to ballot initiatives, will rate in the top five of all historical wildlife conservation failures in North America's history. This bill will facilitate an ending of this situation and help allow for Alaska Department of Fish and Game to do their job as mandated by our Constitution. APHA believes that it's important for us to understand that our founding fathers had no knowledge and little foresight into the political arena that Alaska would be eventually be cast into to effectively manage our wildlife as per their constitutional requirements. This bill helps to secure their work and truly provides for the best interest of the whole of Alaska and not special interest. The professional guide industry is a $200 million plus industry a year that works entirely within rural Alaska. To have long-term sustainability, we are dependent upon allocation of sustainable harvestable surpluses. This bill will help generate this important requirement. APHA would urge you and the affiliated agencies involved with SSHB 348 to look to the long-term benefit of this bill and work together to accomplish its goals, even if it means new language to help clear up existing Department of Law concerns. APHA has paid for yet another legal review of this bill by our counsel, Bill Horn, in Washington, D.C. Bill has provided brief comments. The repeated references to fish and wildlife as assets is designed to prevent any fish and game-oriented ballot initiatives. This arises from the state constitutional prohibition on ballot initiatives to allocate state assets. If fish and wildlife are assets, they can't be allocated by an initiative. So far, so good. Just as importantly, the bill does not impact the state's ability to allocate these resources among users, including providing preferential uses. Guide required rules and other plans to facilitate guided hunting and fishing likely fall within the scope of preferential uses. He did cite one concern that we have addressed through the bill's sponsor staff and understand that they'll help cover that concern. We ask you to please help our wildlife, our Department of Fish and Game, rural Alaska, and all people enjoy Alaska's wildlife and help turn this important piece of legislation into law. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Fithian, do you object to the state having an initiative process?
No, sir.
You think that the initiative process belongs and is a valuable part?
Very much so, sir.
Okay. We had some initiatives. The reason we're here for only 90 days is a result of an initiative. The reason we don't have a reserves tax is a result of a failed initiative. The reason we have a cruise ship tax is the result of an initiative. But I know we can't have an initiative. Now, for instance, the state has assets like $40 billion. We can't have an initiative that simply reappropriates or appropriates assets, especially money. Otherwise, we would guess that the biggest cities would have all the projects. So we have strong restrictions on what an initiative can do. And really, the question is going to become as to whether or not the term asset is going to have to be defined in a very specific way. But right now, we may be dealing with a constitutional issue, and that's why we're be back. I don't expect you'll be back, but we have your testimony, and I thank you for that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could comment to that briefly.
Go ahead.
There's very little ability for this body or the Lieutenant Governor's office to prohibit the initiative process. And the initiative process is, as we heard in testimony today, an important manner of raising funding for outside organizations that really care little about how their actions affect us as a whole. And if this piece of law can be constructively generated to benefit the whole, then it starts giving some of the stewardship that provisions that we need in that process, respectfully.
Well, I'm with you. I'd like Department of Game to be the scientists and the managers. Department of Fish to be the scientists and the managers. I think, I don't know anyone here that would probably think that's a bad idea. And it's getting there like a million other things. And the funniest one was when somebody said, hey, ethics problems. I know them when I see them, but try and write them down. And it becomes difficult to not find exceptions. Mm-hmm. So with that, if there are no more questions, we will adjourn.
Thank you.
Enjoy your long week.